Home Alone's about a family that learns the hard way that pulling out is not an effective form of birth control. Kevin asks his siblings what to pack for their trip, and they're like, Jesus, dude, do we have to shake your dink after you pee too? Everyone's carbo loading the night before their flight, but instead of giving Kevin a slice of za, they call him a disease and send his ass off to a carbon monoxide filled attic. The next day, Kevin wakes up and no one's home, and he's like, yeah, this is pretty chill now that my shitbag uncle isn't putting his Bengay ball bag all over the toilet seat.
Every word is specifically picked out for a reason, as silly as that may sound.
Well, ball bag is especially one day, right?
The amount of times I'm like, should I say ball bag, dick bag? It's so stupid.
We Need to Be Doing That, a podcast that combines sports, social media content, and life. I'm Jonah Ballo.
I'm Keith Steckler.
I'm Elliot Gerard.
We Need to Be Doing That is a Heartland Group production.
Come on.
We need to be doing that.
For this podcast, you know, this guy that we're bringing on, I think he probably should have done the intro, a 60-second intro, because that's what he's, I think, famous for now. But Mike Camerlingo is our guest today. We're really excited about this one, Mike, because I've been following your content for a long time. I think I showed it to you guys. I don't know if you saw him independently, Keith, but it's great social media pieces of content, and I'm going to have you explain what it is exactly, Mike. But I think the first question we have to ask is, you know, how many cease and desist orders have you received and any lawsuits that have come your way?
You know, not as many as you would think. I have a friend who loves to remind me, he's like, I can't wait until the NFL sues you. I'm like, why would they sue me? I'm making, you know, I'm advancing, I'm spreading the wealth of the leagues. You know what I've gotten in trouble is when you use music, that's when you get, and it's always the stupidest thing. Like I made a video once where I combined, the footage of Teen Wolf, the movie, with, a Lady Gaga, A Star Is Born. And I cut her song into it. First of all, the dumbest, like the most, like, who's this for? Like 90 people. But, but I get something, my tweet got taken down, and it was like 6 months later, and I was scrambling to figure out what it was. And when I finally realized which tweet it was, I was just like, that was like a, what are you doing with your life kind of moment. But so far, you know, I think if you just use the voiceover over the clips, it's a little easier to skate by.
All right. So let's back up. I'll try to explain what exactly this is in case anybody's new to your content. Mm-hmm. It's 60 seconds of a clip of a movie, sports highlight, any sort of event. And you do a voiceover, a very comedic approach to that voiceover, and basically describe it in really probably the more accurate way of describing the clip than they actually try to do themselves. Is this a good way of describing what you do? Go ahead and jump in here if I'm missing anything.
No, that's pretty much it. Sometimes I'll get to 2 minutes. It started as, a couple years ago, it started as a thing where I was trying to, you know, I'm a writer. I kind of mix comedy and sports a lot. And I was at a point in my career where I was doing a lot of writing packets or, you know, a late night writing job for a TV show or this. And so they make you do a writing packet. And, you know, those things, you can have the best work in there and you never even know if anyone reads it. And even if they do, you know, there's 500 writing packets and they're going to hire one person. So whatever. So I was kind of at that point where I was like, you know, there's got to be a way to kind of figure out how to showcase my joke writing. So it started as this idea of, oh, what's kind of fun is if you, it actually happened really organically, if you want the full boring story, or this is when I was playing around with Snapchat and it was like a Friday night and I kind of just was pointing it at the TV screen. Rudy was on and I recorded it and I was kind of just like, yeah, Rudy, this movie is about he's kind of a little shit and he's trying to do the thing and he's not very smart, this guy. And I kind of just did it like that. And one of my buddies was like, oh, this is so funny. You should do more of this. And that, that's all, I just needed one like kind of positive reinforcement. And I was like, I'll do this the rest of my life. So I kind of evolved from there. I started doing it where I kind of played more of a character, kind of tapped into my inner mass hole, where I was kind of over the top and it was kind of, I was on camera, there was this thing and it was okay, but it felt kind of boxed in. And then I kind of transitioned to what is this really? And what it is you're explaining something or remembering something, or showing people this shared experience, but you're peppering it with jokes. So it's like, hey, remember Jaws? Here's the plot of Jaws, but it's like joke, 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 joke while getting through the movie. So once I kind of figured that out, I kind of got into a good rhythm of going through movies and TV shows. And then I kind of morphed into, you know, what's it like to do a scene breakdown of when Zack and Slater fight each other?
And by the way, that's where I think I found you was the Saved by the Bell breakdown. Cause I'm admitting this right here for everybody that I'm a huge Saved by the Bell fan. I grew up on Saved by the Bell, and I may or may not have watched all the episodes all over again at the age of 40 on Peacock.
Did you watch the new show?
You know what, man, I had to draw the line. I had to say, you know what, I'm a purist, Saved by the Bell purist, and I just couldn't go back. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, some people reach out to me anytime something's remade like that, and they're like, are you watching it? And I'm like, not really. Like, about Boy Meets World became Girl Meets World, and I'm like, you know, that's great, that's awesome, but that's not for me anymore. Like, I was...
Right.
You know, it's like you're, you know, I think it's kind of psychotic if I was like, yeah, I'm watching Girl Meets World. Like, it's like, dude, move on. But
I guess Cobra Kai has done it kind of well. That's gotten some popularity. Yeah. I gave up, I think, after the third season that I could, you know, listen, I'm a big MMA fan, and some of the scenes, I mean, are just brutal. I mean, it's not real. It's not even close.
I thought the first season was really great at blending the nostalgia with a new storyline. And the second season was like, pretty good, and then it just became kind of its own world, which is fine. I guess you probably have to, but that's where the off ramp was for me.
So I totally derailed the conversation by jumping in by Saved by the Bell. Continue with that path, like you did that one, and how did you start to get noticed and some popularity?
Yeah, so I think then I started doing, you know, people would respond to me, hey, do this, do that, and I kind of realized there's a whole world of, you know, how you look at pop culture. You know, there's a million different ways to kind of make jokes, and I really try to make jokes not at the expense of the thing, because I sometimes people will be like, oh, you got to do this like shitty scene, and it's like, I don't want to do that. Like, I really only do things that I really like. Like, I've done like 10 Van Damme things, and I love Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like, course, he's the man. Like, Lionheart's awesome, Bloodsport's awesome. So it's that kind of thing where it's like, I'm doing it from a fan, and I'm not trying to say like, look how stupid this is. I'm trying to say like, remember this, but also like filtering it through a different lens, because I really hated that kind of stuff of when I was, I don't know, the early, I don't know what you call it, the 2010s, where there was this whole nostalgia push online, and it was hey, remember Zach Morris's cell phone? And you're like, yeah. And they're like, do you remember? And it's like, there's got to be more to it. So I think there's like a fun way to combine nostalgia with like commentary and comedy and that kind of thing. And that's kind of the lane I feel like I'm taking up. So and also a big sports guy. So I was like, there's also the whole breaking down Zack Slater is like almost parodying like how a coach would break down film. So it's like, well, if you go a step further, you can just actually do this with sports. So I thought that was fun. Like, I did a, you know, a This Week in Sports type thing. I started breaking down, just kind of throwing a bunch of shit against the wall, to be honest with you. And then from there, people, I think once I started doing the sports stuff, people reached out, because then it kind of clicked with some people, like, oh, you can do this for us. So I did something for Inside the NBA on TNT for their anniversary. I did 30 years and 60 seconds. So I did a recap. Then I did a 7 or 8 week run on TNT's NBA Tuesday night show when they launched that. I did like a This Week in Basketball. I've done stuff with NASCAR, DraftKings, all kind of off the same kind of thing where I like provide commentary. I write voiceover, edit, just produce this video where it's like a comedic highlight reel through my kind of demented brain.
And how do you pick and decide? I know you mentioned sometimes people reach out to you on social, but the movies, the TV shows, how do you pick the ones you want to go after? Because they're not always the most topical thing. So is it what you think is just going to be really hilarious to dig into?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I mean, sometimes I'll do a video and I'll be like, this is not going to be the most popular video. Like, I'm trying to think. You know, like, for example, we just talked about Van Damme. Like, I made a video last year or 2 years ago where it was breaking down each of the six fights in the movie Lionheart. So it's like, who, first of all, even if you know Van Damme, did you see Lionheart? Maybe, maybe not. Personally, I love Lionheart. Mm-hmm. I just, I had an older brother. I grew up on that. So, but a video like that, I go, I know this can be funny and it helps kind of keep the creative juices going for me. And, but I know that's not going to be the thing versus if I did, which if I did like someone suggested Three Ninjas. Now I wasn't, I saw the movie, but I wasn't like a huge Three Ninjas guy, but I obviously, you know what's going on. But that one where I was like, I feel like people will really enjoy this one. So there's like a delicate balance where you definitely don't want to, the more popular videos are usually where people know the source material. So you could do the funniest commentary ever, usually, over like some obscure movie. And if people don't have a connection to it, it's probably not going to be there. Because the whole point of it, in my opinion, is to revisit this like shared thing. We all saw Rudy. We all saw Good Will Hunting, whatever. And here's like my comedic take on it.
You know, it's so funny because in college, my buddies and I, when we weren't watching sports, drink a bunch of beers. I think it was Family Ties that we started watching. We're like, let's put this shit on and see what it's like to watch now. And we were doing almost what you're doing, and why I think it's so brilliant, because it's so relatable that we'd be sitting there and like, we're like, I'll never forget this. My buddy turned to me, he goes, dude, Alex P. Keaton is a genius. Like, this is a brilliant character. And like, it was really funny how we were taking down each like moment and breaking down the characters and kind of investigating the silliness that was sort of the moment in time kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that's why I think yours works so well. And also the deadpan delivery, right? You are delivering it as a, like you said, if you were calling a color commentary for a football game, right? So I think that lends itself to a little bit of seriousness, but tongue-in-cheek element to it as well, right?
Yeah, I think for the most part, I think I've probably slipped a couple times doing this, but for the most part, I didn't want to say this is a movie or this is like, I wanted to say Zach and Slater are fighting each other and this is the fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wanted to be like a commentator in that moment. And to your point earlier about that, that's a good, like, I take that as a compliment when you say it's like what you and your friends did or do, or like, cause I mean, that's my favorite thing to do is like, My brother and I, we're both sickos. We both love Beverly Hills 90210. It's just like a show we liked. And the other night, you know, we got together, we were having a few beers, and we're just like, we watch it, but we're just like the whole time we're like, dude, look at this guy's like, look at this. It's the whole thing. And it's so fun to me. So that makes me happy that's kind of the vibe that's given off.
Totally. That's what drew me to it instantly. Yeah. What is the one that has gone the most viral, been the most popular?
I think the Windows 95 one, where it's like Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates dancing. So that's a combination of obviously very famous rich people dancing, and that's one where I think the commentary is funny on it, but it like hits that thing where everyone knows it. So it's not, it's like that crosses into, if we're just talking about Twitter where my videos do the best, where that crosses into like politics, Twitter, tech, Twitter. Like, so all these people are retweeting versus just like sports or just movie Twitter. So that kind of blew up. And then, the Stay by the Bell one, a couple of the Steve Urkel playing basketball ones, are pretty popular. So I think a lot of the throwback sports ones, and then, I'd love to do more like pop culture-y events like the Windows 95 thing. I guess I just, that's a little hard to nail down on like what everyone remembers. And I don't want to do like a lot of times people be like, hey, break down when like so-and-so fell down the stairs. It's like, that's like a bad moment in that guy's life. I don't really want to, although I did do the Tom Cruise jumping on Oprah's couch and
somebody, you had to.
I know. And I felt good about it until somebody, this is when I used to read every single comment. Somebody was like, you're really making fun of this on mental health, it's a mental health issue. And then I was like, was he having a mental health issue? I thought Tom Cruise was just kind of wild, dude.
Scientology.
It cures all that.
Yeah. They don't have any mental health issues.
If you read into some of this stuff, most people get what's happening, but the internet's a wild place where
if they don't get it, it's like there's no point in explaining it to people who don't get the joke, you know.
I've kind of learned that, you know, I'm not for everyone. You either get it or you don't. And that's not everybody is for everyone. That's kind of a lesson I've learned creating content is like, you know, there are videos I see that have millions of views and everyone's loving it. And I'm like, yeah, this isn't really a hit for me, but that's fine. That's what it is. You know, everyone's different.
Yeah, I appreciate you walking through the 8-part concoction that made that Windows 95 go viral. Because in our business, clients are always like, we want to go viral. And it's like, it's not easy. And I appreciate, if you're listening, it takes 8 parts of mixing and matching
and
a lot of
sometimes not planned, right?
And you can't plan this stuff.
Right.
That happened too. Like that was a quickly put together video. But that happens to me too. When people hire me, I think they see that I have a track record of creating some, you know, some pretty well shared videos, and they're like, hey, make a video like that for us for our, you know, our ties. I'm like, no one gives a shit about your ties. Like, I'll gladly do it. I'll work on a project with you, but it's a different thing. You can't compare the richest guy in the world, you know, doing the white guy chicken dance to your cool ties that are water resistant. It's it doesn't, you know, so I understand the struggle with, you know, and then you always feel bad. You're like, I think I'm proud of this work, but you know, it's not Slater DDTing Zach. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
It's probably a delicate balance too of not just seeing everything and saying every clip. You know, you could get probably too much and oversaturation of the content, because that's what kind of makes yours special, is that yes, it picks out these moments in time, but it's not just the smattering of all these clips and every single piece. You know, like if you're doing every week a reaction to a reality show or something like that, you know, there's got to be sort of like a timing and a place and time for it.
Yeah, I'm very, as stupid as this sounds, I'm very I pick and choose which ones I want to do, because I really do. These videos aren't just somebody like pressing record and doing one take and freestyling it. It's like every word is specifically picked out for a reason. As silly as that may sound.
Well, ball bag is especially one day. Right?
The amount of times I'm like, should I say ball bag, dick bag? It's so stupid. But because that's how it all started, was this is a writing exercise. This is how it is. So I think for sports highlights, I'm a little more flexible because that lends to the what's happening now conversation. So, you know, if something crazy just happened, like John Morant makes a crazy block, I'm like, all right, I try to watch a video. I go, let me see. Okay, 1, 2, 3. I can kind of pick out, there's a joke. And if I can get a couple of them with the sports, I feel a little more confident about, because you're just reliving, you're basically narrating a sports highlight where the highlight's awesome, but you're peppering it in with some commentary.
Yeah, I think the delivery and the subject matter is funny, but I think your writing is outstanding, because we were watching the Steve Urkel one, and he misses the shot, and you said misses by a medium-sized dolphin. Like, you just sit there and go, that could have been anything, but like, it was so descriptive and so different. You just, you know, you're the way you describe sizes sometimes is just, it's fantastic.
Well, there is an art to that. And I think that's also, you know, for a comedy writer, right? Or somebody who does stand up, right? I know we're joking about the specific words and the timing of it, but there is a lot of thought that goes into that, because it has to hit that right tone, or in essence, be the writing behind that moment has to be funny enough to get you to think a little bit about, holy shit, yeah, that is the size of a dolphin. You know what I mean? Like, there's an element to that, right?
Yeah, because you want, I mean, in comedy specifically, the element of surprise is half the battle. So, you know, you could throw in a couple different things there would probably work, but a bunch of words probably wouldn't work. So it's like, I don't know if I had a list of animals or if that just kind of made sense to me right away.
But it's funny because it's a dolphin. Like, again, like, we're talking about a basketball game.
Somebody sent me a picture last summer, and it was at Cape May at the beach, and it said, please stay a medium-sized dolphin away from something. And I'm not saying I started that, but it's just funny that exists out there. Yeah, because, well, with these videos, you have to pick and choose where you're going to put jokes like that. So sometimes I go through and I have a script and there's too many jokes like that. And I'm like, well, you're kind of just pulling the e-brake on. So again, I don't know how much in the weeds people.
Yeah, let's do it. No, I love it.
But so the beginning has to be pretty quick. So sometimes I'll have a long two sentence thing with a joke at the end of it. And I'm like, this is taking too long to get there. It has to be quick. And even if it's not the strongest joke, you just need to set up what's happening. So I think I get into trouble sometimes when I'm writing. I'll write and I'll have all these jokes I want. And you have to really, it's an editing thing where you're like, you know, this has to be 60 seconds. And I've, you know, to 2 minutes. I guess my real limit is 2 minutes and 20 seconds because that's what Twitter limits me to. But I like to stay around. I think 90 seconds is probably the sweet spot on some of these, but 60 seconds also works. So
the sports highlights in TV shows, the sports moments in TV shows are absurd. And that's the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the Urkel scene. Like, it is so, even Above the Rim, which is one of my favorite movies, like that, those basketball scenes are ridiculous. And it's like, what game have you ever watched that this would be how it was portrayed as street basketball? Like, it's just so crazy.
It's funny. I did an Above the Rim breakdown, and a lot of times I'll try to find the source material on YouTube. I'll be like, final game, I'll see the full game. But sometimes I'll rent the movie, and I should have rented it for Above the Rim because I did this whole thing. And then somebody tagged me and was like, oh, dude, also in that scene, a guy throws the ball full length court to himself. Like, they cut together the wrong thing. Like, he passes it and then he catches it and dunks it. And I'm like, how did I miss that? But to your point, some of the shit is so wild. The court, those sitcoms, like, was it a Hang Time? You ever watch that show?
Oh, yeah. Reggie Theus?
Yeah. So I'm sure there's a million things in shows like that. But it's too good. I mean, the thing about this Family Matters one that made it funny was that Jaleel White could actually play.
Yeah.
So he had actual handle. And I guess Will Smith did too, but everybody else did not.
No. No, that was one of my favorites.
I just looked it up. You probably are, if you don't even know it, a COVID superhero, because a medium-sized dolphin is between 6 and 8 feet long. So now everyone's like, stay a medium-sized dolphin away from me.
You know, the CDC should have hired me to I'll work for anybody. Give me money, CDC. Next pandemic, hire me, please.
So, you know, I think also the platforms and where we're at now too is probably the perfect timing for this. Although I could see you back in the day on like an VH1, you know, when they did the pop-up stuff, like this would be a perfect show for that, or on MTV. I mean, who the hell knows what is
I'm trying on to those stations I'm trying now. To pitch it. Yeah, I'm trying to pitch it as a TV show, so I'll let you know if it goes anywhere.
Oh, definitely. But I mean, the social platforms, like you said, the 90 seconds and sort of the virality of behind some of these clips and where they can be shared and you can be found, you think that's kind of helps kind of craft and sort of create this experience with these clips?
Yeah, I think one of my favorite things about this, other than people telling me I'm funny because I'm a psycho, you want to hear that, of course. But I love when people are sharing it and they're either quoting a line from a video, that makes me happy. Like the medium-sized dolphin, people love that line, right? But the other thing is like when they're sharing their experiences with that clip. Or the source material. So they're like, oh my God, this is so funny. I loved Family Matters growing up. And I think when you're like helping people connect like that, as cheesy as that sounds, it's like, that's like half the point of it. It's like, let's all take a ride back. Cause there's so many accounts on Twitter. Let's just stick on Twitter, but on social where it's kind of like on this day or, hey, remember this thing, you know, 24 years ago, the Wonder Years, all that stuff. So, which is great. I love all those accounts. I love being like, oh yeah. But my goal is to try to create this different kind of way to relive this stuff. So, I guess it's the old thing of like, create what you would actually like. Like, I would like watching videos like this.
Well,
to your point.
Yeah, sorry.
Just to finish your point of like, I kind of tell people or picture it like, it's like, I love the 80s or I love the 90s, but like less snarky. It's like less of like coming at it from like kind of a cynical way and more of like a super fan being like, hey, let's like go on this ride together.
Totally. You know, I tweeted the other day that nostalgia is a hell of a drug because, you know, you look at the Super Bowl performance, right? And all my friends, again, in my age group, were flipping out over Dr. Dre, Snoop coming back together, the stage, the music, everything. And I'm sure my parents were like, not interested. Probably, you know, the age group below us in their 20s, not really interested.
Right.
So the nostalgia among our age groups is so strong, I think. And I think there's such a pull to like those moments. So that's also part of this too. And I think you touched on it earlier, is that it all takes us back to that time when we watched it and we loved it. But now looking back, we can see how some of these parts are so silly, but the nostalgia is so strong, and it works so well in sports as well. I mean, we just saw the All-Star game, right? Where all the guys are back and it's like, you know, The Last Dance was a huge hit during COVID and Tom Brady's, you know, series on ESPN Plus. Like, it just, I think that will always exist, right? The nostalgia as being attached to somebody and being able to take them back to a place, and the content lending itself to that sort of experience.
Yeah, and I think we're in the prime nostalgia age for us now, and the Super Bowl will be for us for the next 10 or 15 years, but then we will age out of it and they will be nostalgic about whatever the hell is happening right now, and we'll be like my parents being like, we're the Eagles. It's like, yeah, dude, right. The Eagles aren't playing. This is, you know, this is this. So yeah, I just think it's the circle of life. Like, you have such a strong connection with the things that you grew up on, and you think they're better than the things that kids grew up on these days. And it's just, it is what it is. And it's like, you know, not to sound like a back in my day, but there's also a special connection with TV and movies, in the sense that, you know, you had to go rent a movie. There was only so many TV channels. Everybody watched Step by Step. I think a lot of the content now, and I hate calling everything content, a lot of the TV shows now, kind of all, they come, they go. And even if a show is very successful, it's tough. There's just so many things happening. That's not blaming the younger generation. That's just saying they have so much shit to deal with. So it's just, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see when they get a little older, if they're nostalgic for Cobra Kai or, you know, I don't know, Ozarks. That's more for me, I guess. I don't know what the youngsters watch. You know, I'm just a aging 30-year-old, so I don't know.
I know you said you do whatever for money, and you mentioned the Thai company. We don't have to name names. Is there anyone you've said, I can't make this work, you've turned down?
I'm more open to – I think it gets tricky when sometimes places want me to do my 60-second thing for them. And to me, that's kind of my thing. I have like a personal, you know, this is my brand. So I have pushed back or name or given a kind of a high price for some things that want me to use my page and do a thing, a recap for them. Again, I'm open to collaborations. I think sometimes companies want to, lack of a better, you know, like you said earlier, I don't know if the viral is the right word, but they want, you know, everyone's going to be talking about it because of this, and it's not really the thing. So that's another thing. It's like, I started 60 Second Classics as a way to just show off how, you know, how I write and how good of a writer I am. But I love doing 60 Second specific things, but I feel like a lot of people are just like, hey, do you want to do this? I'm like, well, I'll do another thing for you, but I don't think this thing will work for your, you know, soft drink or whatever. So there have been times where I've, maybe set my price too high because I'm like, if you want me to do this, then this is the price. And they're like, no. And I'm like, but we can negotiate.
Hey, we know that feeling all too
tough.
True.
I mean, it's tough if you're kind of, you know, just, I've always been kind of like a freelance guy. I mean, project to project. So it's so tough, especially with, you know, social and how, you know, everyone claims they don't have a budget, but they obviously do. And just like trying to, I think for a long time, I think I was lowballing myself, and maybe I went to the other end now, but it's just tough to figure out, you know, how much to quote prices and stuff. I mean, again, probably a boring conversation, but
I'll tell you, it hit right on the head. But Keith and I are talking about it this morning. So it's not, it's something also, I think it is actually not a boring conversation, because what we're seeing right now, especially with our company, is a lot of creative minds are saying no to big business agencies, conglomerates, and saying, I want to be on my own. I want the flexibility. And they are trying to figure out, how can I price this? How can I make a living for myself and also have sort of a freedom of independence? Now, you said you've been pretty much freelance, you know, your entire career, but, you know, that is something that I think a lot of people are dealing with now. And I hope that brands, agencies who are paying for the content are starting to understand the value in it. And there needs to be a little bit of a reckoning in that space, I think.
Yeah, it's funny. I've never worked. I mean, I've been like the head writer for a bunch of branded spots, and I've always done the thing where I've come from like the content. People have brought me in to write, but I've never worked at an agency. Mm-hmm. But I've tried before. I've been like, hey, let me see, maybe, you know, because the freelance life is, I love creating work and stuff, but half of it, as you guys know, is just getting more work, and I just, sure, it's a pain in the ass. So I have tried before, but, you know, I always run into the thing of like, you know, a lot of these places are so, I don't know, they're like, do you have 8 to 10 years of copywriting experience? I'm like, well, no, but I've like written for TV and I've created this campaign. Like, I've done all this stuff. Like, doesn't that, can I figure it out? Not to devalue anyone's experience, but I'm like, and they're like, no, we need someone who like went to, you know, so whatever. It wasn't for me probably, but I've never had any luck with advertising agencies.
Has there been any celebrities or anybody that you've been kind of wowed or shocked by that have reached out to you or commented or react, or is it somebody actually in the pieces that have reacted to what you've created?
I mean, that's my favorite part, when somebody in the video like will share it or respond. Like Jaleel White shared the breakdown of the Urkel video. Awesome. Mario Lopez did the Saved by the Bell one. Still waiting for Steve Ballmer to give me some Clippers tickets or something. But so things like that, where people who are in on it, because again, I never want anyone to think I'm making fun of them. Right. And then when like the actor or somebody involved in it shares it, one of the guys on the Bills, one of the offensive linemen on the Bills, commented on one of the breakdowns I did for them. So that stuff is great. When people, and that's the great part about, like, again, Twitter is where most of my stuff gets shared. And that's the great part about Twitter, is your videos really can have reach. And that's what's great about, you know, I've always been someone who's created their own stuff just kind of out of necessity. So it's been fun to see it kind of grow like that.
Cool. Well, perfect segue into where people can follow you. Tell all the folks out there where they can see these great clips.
So Twitter is at @mcameralingo. TikTok, I've just started, you know, getting to the younger generation.
There you go.
It's at 60 Second Classics. Instagram is at 60 Second Classics. And you can just go to 60secondclassics.com. There's over 100 videos. So pop around there. Check it out. Email me. You can email me. I'll do branded work. I'll do whatever you want. Thank you.
That's a wrap for this week. Thanks for listening to the We Need to Be Doing That podcast. Visit weneedtobedoingthat.com for more episodes and contact information.